Are you sincerely saved? Carefully consider that with us next on Sound Doctrine.
So man gets real good at being religious. He gets real deceptive. He gets real good at what he does. But there is a day of reckoning coming. And that's what Jesus is warning about. Make sure that you have a relationship with the Lord and that you're not just performing the thing. And God will show you in your heart of hearts.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Join us for an incredible journey through the scriptures here on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson, online at sounddoctrineradio.org. One day Jesus will separate the sheep from the goats, the saved from the unsaved. And very sadly, there are many living today that are self-deceived, thinking they're right with God, but in actuality, they are not. Obviously, we don't want that to happen to us. So turn with us to Matthew chapter 7, and we'll get started. Here's Pastor Jeff with his message, Are You Sincerely Saved?
Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, Matthew 7, verses 21 is where we left off. We're going to talk about you being sincerely saved this morning. Are you sincerely saved? So Jesus is kind of going along here in his Sermon on the Mount, and he says, so in conclusion, his final exhortation, his final warning, as he's concluding now the sermon. You see, a good shepherd not only feeds his sheep, but he warns his sheep. See, there's one thing in feeding, there's quite another in warning. Remember over in Acts 20 and verse 31, Paul said, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone day and night with tears. And so he was warning them continually of things that they needed to be warned about. But yet Paul was a good shepherd. He fed the flock, but he warned them. The concern is where there is the real, there is the counterfeit. And you know, with bank tellers today, they say that the way they do it is they have them deal with the real. And so they just continue to handle the real bills. And so when a fake comes, when a counterfeit comes, immediately they feel it, they look at it, they see it. Hey, this is wrong. Why? Because they've been dealing with the real. They're not going to be deceived. So there is that real and present danger of being deceived, especially, and here's where we're getting at this morning, in our relationship with Him. That the enemy can deceive us in our relationship with Him? Yes. So choose your gate, Jesus says. The narrow one is life. And He warned us about false prophets. They're going to be hard to recognize. Remember, we talked about that. But you'll know them by what? Their fruit. And He mentioned that twice, didn't He? So very important. Now notice in verse 21 as we continue on. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then Jesus says, will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, you that work iniquity. These are very solemn and should be a very alarming words. Notice they're coming from the Lord Himself. And so, in reality, what is he saying? That this day is fast approaching. What is this day he's talking about? A day that all things will be revealed. Everything. You know, he's going to separate the goats from the sheep. You know, and then, oh, let them just sow the seed of, you know, the weeds. But in that day, you know, I know the wheat and I know the weeds. Everything will be revealed. These are crying out, Lord, Lord, twice they say it. Interesting. Here he is illustrating the danger of self-deception and self-delusion. I mean, very real things. So first he warns us of the false prophets that are from without, that be careful, they're around you, they're even plants within your church. We talked about that. But now what is he talking about? He's talking about not only deception without, but deception from within us. I mean, I can be self-deceived? Yes. Over in Hebrews, in chapter 12 and verse 14, he says, follow peace with all men and holiness. And then he says this, without which no man shall see the Lord. Holiness is what I need. Holiness is what I longed for. Only his highway to holiness is going to prevail in the end, in that day. He speaks of these, of what these are saying, actually, and that's what he's saying. You say, Lord, Lord. And then he even speaks of what they did. But the bottom line is only those who are righteous, only those who are holy, who do his will enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says, without faith, we cannot please God. So this deception is very deep, and I want you to see it because they're doing all the right things, but there's no change in their lives. They're saying all the right things. And these are totally missing the mark. They say, Lord, Lord. And that is his title, isn't it? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is not his first, middle, and last name. The Lord is his title. Jesus is what he's come to do. Yeshua, he's come to save us. God, Jehovah is salvation, and Messiah is his mission, his deliverance. He is the Messiah. But Lord, saying Lord, Lord, it's not enough. It's true. Listen, to be saved, we must call on the name of the Lord. In fact, the psalm we read this morning, he says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He listened to me and he heard my cry. And he brought me up out of the horrible pit of the miry clay, and he set my feet on a solid rock and established my goings. Put a new song in my mouth, praise unto God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Yes, he heard my cry. And I needed to cry out to him. That's sound doctrine. But we know that Romans 10, 9 and 10 also says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Crying out to the Lord. We need to do that. But it's not going to get everyone who says that to heaven, is what he's saying. That right away should perk our ears up. So verbal confession is a must if you're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And belief is essential. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever would what? Believe in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Confession, belief. But if you rely only on your belief to save you, is what Jesus is saying here, you might not make it. What? That's what he's saying. You say this, Lord, Lord. What? Jesus in Luke 6, 46, he says, why do you say, Lord, Lord, and do not the things I ask you to do? There's the bottom line. Fruit. In Philippians 2, he talks about that he has given Jesus a name above all names, that the name of Jesus, every mouth will confess to the glory of the Father. And that's true. But even those that don't know the Lord at that time are going to bow their knee and confess, right? It's not in the right words. The kingdom is not in the words. It's in your faith in what you say. Remember over in 1 Corinthians 12, 3, it says, no man can say, Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost being there, and really mean it. In Mark 5, it says that the devils called him Lord. And they were devils calling him Lord. So salvation is more than an intellectual assent. Do you remember Nick at Night, we called him, and Nicodemus in chapter 3 of John, Nick at Night. He comes out at night. He's a very religious guy. And he knew about Jesus. He said, you can't do the miracles that you do, but you'd be from God. I mean, you're from God, and I know about you. But he needed to be, what? Born again, didn't he? He was religious, but he wasn't born again. Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. That which is flesh, that which is spirit, born of the Spirit, is spirit. And there is a change. The Pharisees knew the teaching, but they were full of dead man's bones. And I think that many miss salvation by 18 inches. You know, they have the intellectual assent. I believe in Jesus. But they do not believe in their hearts. They haven't had a heart transformation. So they miss it by 18 inches. God deals with the heart. Many say, I believe in Jesus of Nazareth. He is the Son of God. And yet they're not Christians. Can that be? Oh, it's all the time. The Orthodox, those that are into rituals, depending on those things to save them. They continue to go to church faithfully every Sunday and even during the week. Sometimes there's some faiths that even show up on Saturday night to get ready for Sunday. And they are very religious at what they do. And they call upon the Lord over and over again. It's such a dangerous thing, this religion. Because you can have a religion and not have a relationship. These have what I call a false peace. It was a problem back then, and it's a big problem today, isn't it? A lot of people saying, I'm okay because I did this or I did that or I said this and I said that, when they're not okay. It's not okay with you. It is not well with your soul. You do not experience the peace that Jesus said, I will give unto your soul if you will simply come to me. You're still struggling. It's a false peace. So to trust your belief instead of Christ, or, hey, I was born in a Christian home, so I'm safe. I got good parents, man, and I'm a good man. I've got a good heart. I went to church all my life. What are you talking about? I'm not saved. I believe. I go to church. I've been baptized. Did all the right things and still not a Christian. Scary. Some are very zealous in it. In fact, when they don't just say, Lord, they go, Lord, Lord. Wow. Their emotions and their feelings are involved, and yet this can be false. You mean, Your feelings can deceive you. Anybody know that?
Jeez.
It's carnal, it's fleshly. Emotions can get caught up. It's part of some of our makeup to be just a nice guy. I mean, he looks like a Christian. He even sounds like a Christian. And he says, bah. We talked about that last week. Right? Sheep. It's clothing covering a wolf. Not transformed. Deceived. Maybe even tears during a prayer time. Emotions. Yet it doesn't mean that it's spiritual. The saying, Lord, Lord, can be of the flesh, is what he's saying here. Paul knew about this, and this is why Paul said in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, and let me just read it to you. There in verse 4, he says, my speech when I came to you in preaching was not in enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I came to you trembling. I wanted to make sure that what you heard and what you received was of God and not of me. Because there's a lot of men coming with their thing, and people are receiving their thing, and nothing's happening to them. No, I want you to hear and to see demonstrated the power of God as the Spirit brings forth the Word. And this, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So in receiving these, transforms our lives. It's the Lord doing it. We have this, within this earthen vessel, this treasure, that we have to be careful that people don't taste of the vessel. You know how you got that Tupperware and you got that cold water in the refrigerator, you open it up, they take a hit off of it. Man, that's Tupperware. I just tasted water, but it's full of Tupperware, you know. That we would not taste that, but we would taste the Lord and not the vessel. So there's that fear of man getting involved, of man doing his thing. So belief and emotion doesn't make a Christian. It's not our articulation and what we say and how we say it, or even our action and what we do. But it's attitude. It's in what I am in Christ that makes the difference. The Pharisees were very good at saying, well, I've never committed murder. Give me a break. I've never committed adultery. Jesus says, let me transform this into really what God's saying. This is God's heart. Have you ever hated your brother? I don't want to talk about it. Have you ever lusted after a woman? I don't want to talk about it. See, he brought it right back down to the heart, didn't he? The attitude and the individual. He really brought it home is what he did, didn't he? Oswald Chambers, I was reading a little book this morning. He mentions this and he says that the baptism of the Holy Spirit really has a way of allowing the appearance to come forth and the appearance and reality to be brought together. Let me put it that way. And it's just something that God does. You not only have the appearance of being a Christian, but in the reality, you are one. And it's all God doing the work. He makes Christians. We don't make ourselves Christians. Well, I go to church, so I'm a Christian. No, you must, marvel not, you must be born again. And so there's a spiritual awakening that takes place, that transforms an individual to being a child of God. And it's powerful. Now, verse 22, notice, he says, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? And so he mentions a number of works that man gets into. And remember over in Matthew 6, verse 1, Jesus talking to those, and he said, "Take heed that you do not your alms or your righteousness before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." Men like to do their thing before men to show off that, hey, I'm a good guy. They're into works. Man is caught up with it. These, Jesus was saying, are wolves. "Lord, didn't we do these?" And he names three things here, doesn't he? "Didn't we prophesy in your name?" So it is possible, listen to me, it is possible to believe and to preach in his name and yet have him say, "I don't know you." That's heavy. Yet we know that in Philippians it talks about whether they do it in vain or they do it out of envy or strife. Hey, the gospel's being preached. I think it's Philippians 1:15. And God will anoint his word and use it, even using unsaved vessels to bring forth his word. Wow. "Didn't we prophesy in your name?" Remember, Jesus is saying this. Jesus is saying this. Balaam was such a man because he had a righteous or a right message, if you will. But he had a wrong spirit. I mean, come on, let's face it. If you study Balaam, this guy was greedy. He wanted money. He preached to fleece. He didn't preach to feed. And then they say, "We did it in your name." Saul also prophesied, and yet it was outside the things of God. Paul was concerned when he said, I fear, I keep my body under, I bring it under subjection in 1 Corinthians 9:27. Unless having preached to others, I myself should be what? Disqualified. So Paul was very concerned that he wasn't disqualified. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, though I prophesy," remember 1 Corinthians 13? "And give to the poor and burn my body," whatever. If I don't have love, I got zero. And I think that's something we need to really look at. Do we love the brethren? Do we understand what it is to walk with the Lord and have a real living relationship with God? Do we have that? Are we sincerely saved? Paul, writing to those in Philippi again, he said, God will use those who are envious and full of strife. He'll work through them. Over in Luke chapter 16, in verse 15, listen to this. "And he said unto them, You are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." So man gets real good at being religious. He gets real deceptive. He gets real good at what he does. But there is a day of reckoning coming. And that's what Jesus is warning about. Make sure that you have a relationship with the Lord and that you're not just performing the thing. And God will show you in your heart of hearts.
That's Pastor Jeff Johnson with Sound Doctrine from the Sermon on the Mount. We just heard part one of Are You Sincerely Saved? Hear it again at sounddoctrineradio.org or oneplace.com. Listen wherever you get your podcasts as well. Here's our toll-free number, which you can use to order this study on CD and other helpful resources from us. It's 800-353-7553. Again, 800-353-7553. Hey, how's your devotional life going these days? Could it use a kickstart? Allow me to recommend Daily Devotions with Calvary Chapel Pastors. This collection of daily devos will edify you as you read God's inspired Word. You'll hear people of God pour out their hearts, sharing personal experiences of God's faithfulness. Authored by Chuck Smith, Skip Heitzig, Jeff Johnson, Greg Laurie, Raul Reese, Mike McIntosh, Don McClure, Joe Foch, and many more. just give us a call at 800-353-7553. Or you can order it online through our e-store at sounddoctrineradio.org. Your financial support is not only needed at this time, but would be very much appreciated. Think of your donation as an investment in the lives of listeners all around the world who make it their aim to build their lives on sound doctrine contained in God's Word. So thank you very much for linking arms with us. Go online to sounddoctrineradio.org and click Give, or call 800-353-7553. There's much more to come in Matthew. Set aside a half hour each day as together we open and study the Word with Pastor Jeff. Sound Doctrine is furnished on this station by Calvary Chapel Downey. So, Father,